You're listening to the Mindbrew Chats podcast, bringing you stories and honest conversations about mental health, well-being, and life. From Kuching, Sarawak. Grab your favorite brew and join us now.
Hi, everyone. It's been a while since we've done a Facebook Live for Mindbrew. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Laura, and I'll be hosting tonight's very intimate discussion on reflecting on the year that has passed and that the year that is to come. Now, for those of you who have been following our Facebook page, we've been talking a lot about something called the Year Compass, and we'll be going through it this evening. But before that, let's talk a little bit about what 2020 has been. It's the last weekend of what has been an incredibly difficult year for all of us. Not just for Malaysia, not just for, you know, this part of the world, but literally the whole world has been experiencing a degree of I would say misery that our generation has never experienced before. When generations past, we have gone through wars, we have gone through plagues, we have gone through a war of antibiotics, etc., etc. But the world has never gone through a global pandemic of this scale, and it's changed our life so much. Because of that, we need to sit back. We really need to sit back and think about what has happened. What lessons have we learned? What changes have we seen in ourselves? The more difficult a year has been, the more difficult, the more problems and difficult situations that we have gone through, the more important it is to actually sit back and assess. And today, I have three very special guests on board to talk about our year that has passed, reflect a little bit before we move on to what we hope for the year to come. So please help me welcome Kim Tan.
Hello, everyone. Happy Christmas and Merry New Year's. Hopefully you are all indulging in your favorite things during this festive season. If not, just spending a little bit more extra care, tender loving care for yourself, especially in this time of need. And I'm excited to, thank you, Laura, for bringing me on board for this tonight. And I'm excited to share this experience with Celine and Hazel and yourself as well.
Yay, looking forward.
Yay. Because Kim, this is her first time on Mindbrew. So I really want to find out, I think our audience also wants to find out a lot more about who you are, what you do. But before that, let's go on to Celine. Celine, hi, Celine.
Hi. Hi, my name is Celine. I'm a student, and also I'm an environmental activist with the Sarawak Eco Warriors and the Kuching Beach Cleaners. I don't know if you've heard of them. But yeah, I'm very happy to be here. Thank you, Laura, for having me. And I'm very excited to hear Kim's and Halo's stories of how their year has been. Yep.
Some of you may remember Celine from our previous episode, episode 4 of Mindbrew Chats, Mindbrew Chats with Educators. So she was one of our guests on that show as well. And last but not least, we have Hazel. Hi, Hazel.
Hello. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year 2021. Indeed, it has been a crazy year 2020. And we speak of year 2020, this was never our expectation. Yeah, but well, all is good, you know. There are some lessons to learn here. I'm a clinical psychologist by profession. Today, I'm here to have a meaningful conversations with three other friends to talk and reflect about our journey in year 2020. So thank you for having me as well, Laura.
Thank you, Hazel. Hazel's a familiar face and a familiar voice. She's actually part of our Mindbrew team as well. Okay, since everyone has kind of like jumped the gun and introduced themselves, Kim, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself? I understand that you're a women's activist, women's rights activist. Can you tell us a little bit about what that means and what you do here?
So I am the lead program for Bukan Salah Kami. Bukan Salah Kami means it's not my fault in Bahasa Sarawak. And basically it's about breaking the silence on sexual violence that's happening in Sarawak. It was inspired by the global Me Too movement. So we decided to localize it so it's easier for us because we want to be inclusive, not exclusive. So we are mindful that we have to produce materials in three different languages, English, Mandarin, and Bahasa Sarawak, for a better understanding. Yeah.
Such important work. And I think a lot of the times, these global movements tend to miss out a demographic who maybe don't speak English, you know, whose English is not their first language, or they are maybe, correct me if I'm wrong, they're maybe very white. So Asians are not really represented in these kinds of movements. It's so important that you have localized it. It's Bukan Salah Kami. It's something that us Sarawakians would be able to understand and instantly identify with. It's not my fault. It's not the woman's fault for getting molested, for getting raped, for having something happen to her. So we've got like a really nice mix of guests here. Just so happens that we are all women and of different ages and different backgrounds. And we've all gone through the past year differently. But at the same time, quite similarly. So it's really great to be able to hear these different perspectives. And we hope to learn something new about each other, something that we have not seen in each other before. But before that, let's go a little bit into the year compass. Before this show, I would like to know whether you guys have heard of the year compass before.
I heard of it last year via you. And I'm grateful for that. Thank you. Yeah.
Same. I've heard of it via Laura also.
Yeah.
Don't remember when.
It was one of those random discoveries. I spent a lot of time on social media. I'm addicted to my phone. And it just so happened that it popped up on my newsfeed one day. What's this year compass thing? What do you mean reflect on your past year? So when I went to look into their website, which is in the comment section, by the way, if you are watching this on Facebook, and it's www.yearcompass.com. And it's this amazing resource. You can get it for free. It's available in 52 different languages, translated by volunteers from all over the world. Actually started back in 2012 by a group of, I think they called themselves the Invisible University. You can look it up. They're Hungarian. And it started out as a thing between friends. But it blew up and got so popular that it was translated into many, many languages, including Mandarin. Unfortunately, there's no Bahasa Malaysia yet, but please, if you look at the resource, you think that it's useful, do volunteer to translate it because there is a Bahasa Indonesia version. So if you would like to volunteer, please go ahead and contact the people at yearcompass.com, and I'm sure they would love to have that translation happen. For tonight, we're going to be looking at the English version. I've already got little scribblings here. You can download it and print it out, or you can download it as a PDF, which can be filled up on your computer if you don't want to print out anything. For me, I like the tactile, you know, the tactile connection of writing things, scribbling things, so I printed mine out. It's a nice little booklet. The first part deals with the past year. So it's like guided exercises. It is not New Year's resolutions. I hate New Year's resolutions. I don't know what you guys think. I see you kind of nodding. So I guess, yeah, you hate them as much because I never keep New Year's resolutions. Right, guys? Have you ever managed to keep one past like the 31st of January?
Nope. Forget it the next day.
That's
My record has been a month, but still, it never worked. So this is not about making New Year's resolutions. It's not about setting very concrete goals about, I want to earn like 500,000. Next year, I want to lose like 10 kilos. It's more about values. It's more about exploring your self-awareness. And they do it in such a great way. It's so easy to follow. Going through your calendar is the first section. So the thing is, we have selective memory, kan? We tend to remember to amplify the negative, the things that I didn't do, the things I didn't achieve. We don't remember moments of joy as much as we should, or even like small progress, small milestones that we achieve. So that's really important. The second page is things like specific things about what was your last year was about. Please don't write stay home. I know everyone stayed home in 2020, but there's got to be something that happened that stuck in your memory. So we've got 6 sentences about my past year as well, 6 questions about my past year, so on and so forth. The second part is talking about what you want to achieve in the next year. What are your values? Things like, what are your priorities going to be with regards to your family, with regards to your relationship with your partner or your friends? Things like that. Things that are not material-driven, achievement-driven. I find that really, really good because it puts a lot of pressure on me. If I've got to lose 10 kilos, I've got to earn this much money. It doesn't speak to me and it makes me anxious. I don't know about you guys. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later. And for 2020, because this has been such an extraordinary year, the team at Year Compass have included a pandemic supplement. We're not going to go through this whole booklet. It actually says that you can choose. If you go to the website, you go to the Facebook page, it actually says you can choose to do it alone. You should take about 3 to 4 hours of like uninterrupted time. Or you can do it with a group of friends, such as what we are doing now. And the reason that Celine and Kim and Hazel have heard about Year Compass before is that last year, we actually used this as one of our resources for one of our Mind Brew sessions. Back when we could do things physically and in person, and we felt like a mask covering our face, we did this in Inda Cafe in Kuching. And it was good. It was a very introspective session. People learn things about themselves and about each other. And that took about 3 to 4 hours of quiet, uninterrupted time. So if you were to do this, please find some, make some time for yourself. It says, arrive, put on some relaxing music, pour yourself a hot beverage, let go of your expectations, and start whenever you're ready. We do not have the luxury of 3 or 4 hours. I mean, we could sit here for 3 and 4 hours, but I don't think you want to watch us for 3 to 4 hours. As much as we would love to talk, but I don't think you want to watch us. What we're going to do is we will go through some parts of the Year Compass and you get a feel of what we're supposed to do and to learn and to be aware of when you're doing the Year Compass. If you have the Year Compass printer already, you can follow through with us. The link to download is in the comment section. But guys, I'm interested to hear what's your year-end ritual. We already established that New Year's resolutions do not work, but what's your year-end ritual? Or do you not have one?
I do not have one, honestly. Yeah, no, I'm just like, it's a new year. Tomorrow is like the same thing. You get what I mean? Like, just like to me, it's like you're just flipping the calendar like one more time, you know? There's no like, I don't know, like I don't have this habit of reflection. And yeah, maybe I should. That's why we're doing this, right?
That's a common sentiment. I think with me, I would be like totally opposite. I'll be going through what I didn't do and I'll get upset about it. It's like, where did the time go? How come I didn't do this? How come I didn't do that? That's being really unkind to myself, but that's what I do. So I don't know about Kim and Hazel. What's your year-end ritual?
So For me, in the past years, I would usually take a very long leave the year end, go back to be with my family wherever they are, go for a holiday. In these holidays, I would have some moments where I can really sit down and reflect. Not to the extent of what the year compass offer, like those questions and all, but like really to kind of process what had been going on in the past 1 year. Because, you know, being at work and all that, you just kind of go through the motion. You don't really process much. So I really, really appreciate that final year break and going somewhere, like just somewhere new to kind of get a fresh perspective of things and all that. Yeah, but this year is a bit different. I took break and stay home. So, yeah.
I'll stay at home.
Yeah.
What about you, Kim?
I normally have reflections. I think yesterday I went to Sumiran Eco Camp with my best friend, and there was a whole drama about me and my fears on an obstacle and how I broke down in hysterics because my mind was racing so much further and I started getting, okay, this is an entire chapter anyways. But I think throughout the break that I took during the obstacle, I think I spoke to my best friend and said, like, I've been feeling a bit low. But then we also come to look at how the year has been great, actually, because we are so blessed and privileged. Yeah. So it might have been a difficult one, but I think it was okay.
For all four of us, we have different ways of dealing with the year-end ritual. Mine is angsting, basically, about what I didn't do, which is why I appreciate the guidance that the year compass can offer me. It forces me to really think about what happened. And sometimes you remember things that had seemed like they were very insignificant at the time. Mm-hmm. When you rethink about it and you remember how you felt, you go back to that moment, you remember things like who you talked to or what you heard. Now, all these little details help you to remember that, hey, 2020 wasn't so bad after all. And like Kim does this reflection exercise with her friend. Can be done alone, it can be done with a friend or a group of friends, kind of what we are doing right now. We're going to look through part of the main year compass first, and then we're going to go into the pandemic supplement. If you turn to page 7 of your main year compass, it has this section about 6 questions about my past year. It ranges from what are you most proud of, were the 3 people who influenced you the most, who are the 3 people you influenced the most, what were you not able to accomplish, what's the best thing you've discovered about yourself, and what are you the most grateful for. So very, very specific questions. This is not... So I'm going to go ahead and talk about who are the 3 people that influenced me the most during this time. It was so important to have a very grounding influence during this very turbulent year. I'm a healthcare professional, so we were still working throughout this time, and there was so much fear about COVID amongst the risk of getting it from a patient who comes to the hospital or from, you know, people around us, and especially for those of us who are living with or who have family members who are high risk. The fear was very, very real. It almost seems like a dream now, but back in March when everything started, that level of fear is something that I have never felt before. And I'm very grateful for the people who influenced me. Actually, one of them is right here. My coworker is Hazel.
Aww.
Aww.
Aww. Yeah.
I'm very thankful to Hazel for being a very grounding influence during this time. Because it's hard to share this fear with friends, especially some friends who may not have the space the mental and emotional space to take in your worries and your fears. Hazel conveniently happens to be also to be a clinical psychologist. So it was a...
No, not towards you, okay? You're my friend.
But she had the skills and the tools to help me out when I needed, when I had that overwhelming fear in my head. Another person would be Jill. Jill is someone who I work with in the Mental Health Association of Sarawak. She's older, she's seen a lot. And the thing with experience, right, when you measure your life in decades, many, many decades, instead of just like a few short years, things faze you less. You're like, okay, so this has happened. I've seen things happen before, and I've seen that people can get through these difficult times. Mm-hmm. She was a very important grounding influence when thoughts and worries became very, very overwhelming. And third person is also happens to be someone in my room. Mac is not here tonight to join us. So Mac has depression anxiety. He's dealt with overwhelming anxiety before, and he has the tools. When you've been through it, you recognize it and you know, hey, I've got to step back and I've got to assess the situation. I've got to see what is real, what is not real, what is within my control and what is not within my control. Mm-hmm. And when you look at it objectively, your fears become less. He's very into Stoicism, which is a school of philosophy. And that has also helped me learn what is within my control and what is not. And we're going to talk about that a bit more later. So that's the three people who have influenced me the most: Hazel, Mac, and also Jill. Gratitude has been a very big theme this year for the things that we are grateful for. Kim, like, what are you the most grateful for this year?
Ooh, it is definitely the support system that I had throughout the entire year. For ranging from especially my family and my friends near and far. And also because, especially during this time when everyone's going through their own personal struggles as well, mm-hmm. I'm super grateful for people that reached out, shared a laughter, shared like a virtual session, whether it's a movie or DNMs, or just crying together about uncertainties for the year. I'm definitely most grateful for that. Yeah.
What is the best thing that you have discovered about yourself, Hazel?
That I'm awesome.
Did I just inflate your ego?
Right.
Did I just help to inflate your ego?
Okay. No, I mean to be more precise, is that I discover there are a lot of parts to myself, which all of us have. And you know how the Asian, I don't know if it's Asian, but like the Chinese or the Asian in me always want to fix the not so nice parts, you know? Yeah. But during this whole pandemic, when I have the chance to kind of reflect, I noticed that, hey, you know, these not so nice parts, these ugly parts of myself are actually pretty cool as well sometimes. And I learned to kind of accept those parts of me, embrace all of them, because that's what makes me me. And I notice that when I do that, I feel less sorry about being who I am or doing the things that I felt I need to do or that I need to measure to a certain kind of standard. So I felt that the best thing I discovered about myself is that I have these parts of me and I can live with them. And I feel that I'm okay with having these different parts of me. Yeah.
Hazel, is there a special formula for this?
going through COVID-19. I was tested positive, by the way. Yeah, I was tested positive. So I had like this one whole month of isolation to really kind of think through like later on, we're going to talk about what I'm in control of, what I'm not in control of, and how these different parts of me are actually pretty beautifully blend together, you know, and I don't need to try too hard to change anything now, at least for now, you know. Maybe in future I might, I don't know. But yeah, for now I'm happy with
Is this really an Asian thing, or is it more like a
perfectionism type?
Yeah,
a human thing.
Possibly, possibly. You know, but then I met people who are really kind of chill, nah, chill lah, you know. So they're not really preoccupied about doing things differently or trying to push yourself to be the best and all that. But I am, you know, I'm that kind where I get very anxious about the quality of things that I produce. And yeah, I have all these things within me. And I felt that's also pretty okay. You know, that's who I am. Yeah, that's what makes me me.
It's I think it's something that we have talked about this before on the show, that this need to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And some of us have said that maybe it's social media driven. So yeah. Right now, everyone's accomplishments are in your face. Like you literally cannot ignore anything because people post everything about their lives on, or rather the good parts of their life on social media.
Yeah.
You have to see. Everything looks perfect. There are filters. People have, you know, they get great jobs. They buy new houses, new cars. They buy new phones. And it's all out there. You can't really ignore it. So maybe that's a factor also. In why we are so so obsessed and so hell-bent on achieving perfection in ourselves. But that's a conversation for another day, maybe.
Yeah.
Celine, I'm interested to ask you, what are you the most proud of this year?
I think just I've only really been focusing on studies. Because there's not much I can do with like environmental work because we can't go out now and stuff like that. I'm the most proud of just being able to finish my work and, you know, still being in online classes and having this pressure to like needing to perform the way I used to perform before MCO and still being able to like push through it. I think that is just like very simple, but also the one thing that I'm the most proud of.
I think they've seen this meme going around that, or not a meme, something going around on social media. Like I said, I'm very, very focused on, I'm very obsessed with social media. I'm on it a lot, but I find good things. This particular one was one of those images, and he said, like, if the only thing you've done in 2020 is survive, you did great.
Yeah.
You did great. Yeah. You didn't have to have done, like, a whole list of achievements. I know some people, it's crazy. People start businesses. People lost a lot of weight. They got really fit, or they became, like, Gordon Ramsay overnight, or they grew, like, entire jungles in their apartments. If the only thing that you've done in 2020 is you have made it to the end, it's been an extraordinary year. There's so much that's happened and so much energy was needed to adapt to so many changes. Like Sunin, online classes are not easy.
They are not.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And the fact that you can't go out, you're stuck at home, with your family the whole time. I'm sure that's quite stressful too, because everyone's in this pressure cooker situation.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that we're going to address as we move along is that the four of us here, we have to acknowledge that we are very privileged.
Yeah.
We're very privileged. Financially, we didn't have to worry so much. We had jobs. We had a roof over our heads. We had food. Our families were fine. There are many others who have lost people, whether it is to COVID or to other illnesses. There are people who have lost their jobs and incomes, people who are struggling to make ends meet. And for these people, our hearts go out to them. And there are also many other people who have seen this need and who have managed to turn things around by doing different things, like pilots who lost their job and started to sell burgers or sell food. We've seen a lot of these things on social media as well. People who are university graduates. I think there was an engineering graduate and he sells masala tea from his bike in Brickfields. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
Because in every bad situation, something good has to happen. And people have been coming up with fundraising campaigns. We have this Kuching Food Aid. You can find them on Instagram. They partner with supermarkets in Kuching to pack up basic necessities, food and other necessities, things like diapers, things like sanitary napkins, which are so essential, but people always forget that women need sanitary supplies. So all these initiatives have been popping up as well. So for every sad and negative news you see on social media, there is the balance of someone who is doing something to fix the situation. We've done the 6 questions. They are a lot more. We're not going to go through them. We don't have enough time. But we're going to move now to the pandemic supplement. If you download from the Year Compass now, it's included into the booklet. Little bit of caveat first. Doing this Year Compass and this supplement especially can dredge up some pretty heavy stuff. Can be very disturbing to you, can be very uncomfortable, may feel really, really distressed. This is a useful tool, but it's not a replacement for therapy. I repeat, it's not a replacement for therapy. So if you have been going through some mental health struggles, doing this supplement dredges up some uncomfortable, distressing thoughts and emotions, please, please go and seek out professional help. You will be able to find resources for help on the Mental Health Association of Sarawak website. That's mhasarawak.com. So head on over there to find out how you can get help, whether it is from a NGO, from the government sector, or from the private sector. Now, just now we talked a lot about control, right? What we can control and what we cannot control. We also talk about something called stoicism. I strongly encourage you to go read up on it. One of the basic tenets of it is knowing what is within your control. The only thing that we can control is actually our actions, our own words, and how we react to things.
Yeah.
Everything else we cannot control. But so many of us spend so much energy obsessing over like, when is the pandemic going to end? Or when am I going to be able to travel again? You know, when am I going to be able to go back to normal? We spend so much energy obsessing over it that it causes us a lot of stress. It causes a lot of emotional distress. So we need to redefine what is control. We need to redefine it. And in this particular segment, we're supposed to write down everything that worries us. And then you're supposed to mark the things that you can or have solved on your own by doing something, by saying something, or by reframing how you felt about it. The list is very long. Like I said, when's the pandemic going to end? When am I going to get the vaccine? But if I get the vaccine, I'll be the unlucky one who gets an adverse event. When am I going to travel again? When am I going to be able to go back to university? Am I even able to go to university this year for those who are from 5 and from 6 school leavers? What's going to happen to me? So, so many worries. It's never ending. It piles up on one on top of each other. And before you know it, it's like this heavy burden that you sink under, you cannot hold up anymore. But writing them down helps you to see, and it gives the worries less power, if that makes sense. At least that's what I do, and that's why people journal as well, by getting all the thoughts out onto paper, or if you're into drawing or sketching, it gives these worries less power. Like Hazel looks kind of ready.
Are we out of the woods yet financially? Is it going to be okay? What can I plan? You know, are we safe? Am I able to fly or travel? When can I be with my family? So these are some that I have, yeah.
Well, what are the things that you have been able to mark as you were able to kind of resolve?
I think one of it is, I asked the question, when can I travel again? How am I going to plan things? To realize that perhaps, why am I traveling to my family? You know, what's the message? The message is because I want to be with them. I want to show them that I love them and I care for them. So I'm using my words instead, calling them and telling them that Yeah, I care for you. I love you. Rather than just using actions and not saying it, you know. So using words has been helpful for me. And also with regards to finances, to really save up a little bit more while I have my job, while our family is still okay. So we kind of save up a bit more to make sure that, yeah, we're ready for the rainy days.
So you reframe your way of looking at a bad situation, the fact that you cannot travel.
Yeah, yeah. And to perhaps something that I felt was very helpful for me was that when I told someone that there's so much uncertainty, you know, we are going through a period where we cannot really plan anything. This has never happened before in our lives. Mm-hmm. And that friend said, yeah, but you know, uncertainty is a time for a lot of possibilities. So that's that's true, you know, like because life has been so certain previously, you know, you kind of know like A will lead to B to C, but now there's so much more possibilities that we're exploring, which is why like those online conferences, online classes, all these are possibilities that we never thought of until the pandemic hit. So I thought, yeah, that's a very good way of looking at things.
That's true. Yeah. Kim, you look ready?
I think it's more of like the fear of the unknown, exactly when everything is going to be okay. I think it's more, not more of like what I want. I understand that, I have this huge travel itch, but at the same time, I don't think about it as much because I think there's so many issues going around the world that I need to use that flustered energy of not being able to travel onto something else that's more productive, like channeling my energy elsewhere. I'm just worried if my friends are going to be okay overseas because they're all in different countries. America's not doing very great. And new cases are always popping up. And the new strain of COVID, oh my God.
Yeah.
How will the direction of SWWS go? And if business is going to be okay in the coming, because you can see like buying power is a lot lesser and things are so different for everyone. So will businesses thrive during this time? Yeah. And if it does, sometimes I also think it's a bit not fair, and it's also our social responsibility to redistribute our wealth. Mm. Yeah. So just different things like that. Yeah.
Very loaded box of worries. Because the thing is, we don't just worry about ourselves. It's like an ever-expanding circle. You worry about yourself, you worry about your family, you worry about your friends, then you worry about society, then you worry about the world. And it's like, it goes on and on. It sounds like a lot of guilt as well. It's like when you are okay, but you feel guilty that other people are not doing as okay.
Mm.
So it's like so much. But what I hear from you is that you tried to redirect that nervous energy that you had. You redirected to something else. Can you be like a bit more specific about that?
I got this from a musician, disclosure. In one of the songs, the lyrics was like, where your focus goes, your energy flows. Mm. This was me like dancing in my room halfway through, and I heard this and I was like, oh yeah, okay. My mantra now. So instead of focusing on how I'm so upset and frustrated about certain things, I feel like it's like it charges my battery. And then I'll use it and focus it on something else.
It makes a lot of sense. And I think one of the latest parts of the supplement, we're going to like explore that a little bit more.
Mm.
Yeah, about this energy thing, replenishing your energy, refilling your cup. Celine, can we hear a little bit about some of the things that you were able to control and not able to control?
Able to control and not able to control. I recently got, so I'm doing my internship now, and I'm in Miri right now, actually. What I'm the most worried about is what can I achieve in this job, or like what can I learn from this job, and being insecure about my competency, even though I'm just, you know, I'm a trainee, I have this allowance to be to not be fully like knowledgeable about everything, but I still feel like super insecure about my incompetency. These are more of things that I can control because, you know, if I don't know something, I could just ask. It's sort of, yeah, I can control these problems are created by my own mind and I am in control of them. But things that I am worried about that I cannot control is more, I think off the top of my head, it's my parents' health. My dad recently got his heart checked and it was clogged. And if he did not get it checked, he might be in risk of you know, heart problems or like heart attack. And so like, I've been thinking about that a lot. We've had a conversation about him retiring and you know how Asian parents are like, they're like, we're fine, I'm okay. But there's nothing I can really do about it. And I don't really want to, you know, not just because I can't control it, I don't want to think about it, you know, but these are things I still want to be worried about. But I am not letting them sort of bother me a lot.
I think this exercise is, as you phrased it just now, it's not about not bothering about things that you can't control. Because your father's health, your family's health is a very legit concern. It's a very legit worry. But at the same time, you acknowledge that you know you really can't control. You're not God. You know, you can't control how it goes or how or what. You can control certain things like physical exercise, like a healthy diet, taking medications. And if you've done that, I think that's what you can do. Focusing, shifting your focus to what you can do versus what you cannot do. And that's the point of this exercise. Mm-hmm. And logically, for people who are going to work through this exercise later on in a year compass pandemic supplement, you should be able to look at that box of worries, that list that you've created, and see a lot of things which are not marked, meaning they're beyond your control, or you are not able to resolve them by yourself somehow. This is supposed to lighten the load off your mind. You do not have to bear the weight of the world on your shoulders. You do not have to bear the weight of the world on your shoulders. This goes out to Kim, who's worrying about the people who are affected by businesses, not doing well, families who are going through financial difficulties. You do not have to bear the weight of the world on your shoulders. Yeah, so that's the point of this exercise. It's very different from Adaku Kesa. For those who are Shirakin, that means, why should I care? Or I don't care about. They're not my problem. Okay, it's very different. It's just redefining what you can control and what you cannot control. And that's an important distinction to make.
You've been listening to Mind Brew Chats. Find out more about Mind Brew on our social media platforms at Mind Brew KCH. That's Mind Brew KCH on Instagram and Facebook. Don't forget to like and subscribe for future updates.